Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by Wade Smith, Houston. Okay, ain't outside. I don't know how bad that weather is. I know it was ugly earlier, baby. But you got some good news coming your way. Them Astros got him a man. Rockets got a big W last night. Joined now by Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer with the NBCSports.com. Kurt, what's going on, man?
Been a little busy, but it's all good, man.
Hey, that's good. That means you're wanted, you're needed. The demand is high. Hey, am I saying that Helin right? Is that how you say that?
That is correct. Yeah, you got it right. Good job, because I've been called a lot of things.
Hey, look, that's that Arkansas education, baby. That's that Arkansas education coming out. Hey, Kurt, I know you're all over the map with the NBA, man. And the tragedy of Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's something that, golly, man. I don't know if the NBA has ever seen anything like this or felt anything like this. I know you've done some reports of the global impact of Kobe's the tragedy and I'm assuming the life of Kobe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, well, the global impact is certainly part of his story. He came of age while the league was becoming global, but he was the first guy to really put the work into it. Everybody goes on, James Harden and Westbrook and all these guys go on shoe tours now, right, every summer to China and the Far East. Kobe was doing that before everybody. He was learning in a very Kobe way. He was learning the ways of what has to work out there. He had a separate, I believe still has, a separate Chinese charity that's different than his American foundations and charities. And he did all this work to ingratiate himself there and make himself famous. Now, and in Chinese culture, it also helps to win, and Kobe did that. So, I mean, he really ingrained himself in a way there he created a roadmap for others to follow. Not only there, by the way, there's murals all over the Philippines, which is a basketball crazy country for him in the capital city and stuff. That's just nuts. That was part of it. And then, domestically, I think we're all still kind of coming to grips with it, aren't we? I mean, we're all still kind of just been taken aback by it. And I'll tell you what came to my mind once everything settled down was not the year he was out with his Achilles. He would sometimes just kind of, he'd come in pregame and get his sweat on and, try to get his work in. And sometimes he'd just come and sit in the locker room and there's no interview going on. He wasn't going to talk on the record about anything. He was just chatting up to the reporters. I think he kind of missed the rapport with the regular beat guys and stuff. And then when I was there, I have three daughters. He had four daughters, and it's not just us. There's something in the water at Staples. Like, everybody just has a bunch of daughters. I'm not sure, like, all the reporters, like, some of the media members. Like, and there'd become these conversations about being a dad and being a dad to young ladies and to young women and how to help them to grow up to be strong and confident people in a society that doesn't always push for that. And you could see he not only loved how deeply he loved and cared for his family, but also how much thought and effort he put into it, like he did basketball and everything else. But he really thought about how can I better raise daughters? I love raising girls. How can I do this better? How can I help make them better people? And it was an insight that I didn't, I don't know that Willie went public enough, or I think maybe started to the last couple of years when you could see more of the father side of him. He cared deeply about that and how to pass the unwavering confidence he had in himself along to his daughters.
As a father of four daughters myself, two of them athletes, I really, really enjoyed and appreciated Kobe Bryant's diving head forward into growing multiple games in women's sports, talking about basketball and volleyball. Can you talk to the people about some of the things that Kobe was doing and what a loss it would be in those communities since he's no longer here?
Yeah, and by the way, out here in Southern California, also Gianna in particular, before she was doing before she really got into AAU basketball and followed her father kind of that way, she played on some soccer clubs. So he sponsored a travel soccer team out here. Mamba, there was a Mamba, I believe it still exists actually, Mamba Soccer Club. And she actually played against my daughter a couple of times. It was kind of surreal. So he wanted to invest, but like I said, when we talked about it later, it wasn't just, hey, I can throw money and put up a club. It was, hey, if I do this, how do we do it right? How do I not only get girls and get good coaches and take care of the technical side? And he did this with the Mamba Academy out that he was on his way to when the accident happened. It wasn't just, hey, I can throw money at this and make a, you know, state-of-the-art building or a state-of-the-art club or AAU team. It's how can I do this in a way that makes these people, you know, better? How can it get them to not only do well in school, but teach them life lessons as well? And it's not just about sport. It needed to be about more than that for him. And that's the thing that, as like you said, as a father, just impressed me and made me happy, because ultimately, look, I've got two daughters playing travel soccer. One maybe could play, you know, like she's 13, you know, maybe someday she could play D2 or D3. She's not, you know, she's not headed to the national team. Maybe she could play at a small college someday. She's pretty good. But, you know, that said, what I want her to get out of it, what I want my daughters to get out of that or whatever they're doing, dance or theater or whatever else they're doing, is life lessons and the things we always talk about with sports, like being part of a team, being part of making a commitment, sacrifices, putting in the effort, putting in the work, the things we want to teach you about life from sports. And he was all about that, and he was so focused on it. And that he's going to really be missed. That Mamba team was it was a great academy. I don't think the academy's going anywhere, but the academy and the team were changing the landscape out here, because he was able to kind of do things the right way.
Man, when you get a guy like Kobe, really, it doesn't have to be necessarily that big of a name, but when you get a guy behind something and he's pushing it with all of his heart, man, it's a powerful thing. Hey, you've also covered, and we've seen a bunch of the different tributes to Kobe. I think they're super cool. Last night, who was it? Was it Toronto that wore the 24-8s with Brown on the back?
Yeah, a couple teams did. I know. Detroit did as well. Yeah.
Well, they did that, and then you've seen the 24-second violations, followed by the 8-second violations. The Rockets did that last night to start the game. What are some of the cooler tributes that you've seen around the country and around the world? And then what do you expect? Is there anything down the pipeline with the All-Star game or anything like that that you expect?
I know that the league is thinking about it with the All-Star game and what they're going to do. You know, the league's got a couple balls to balance there, because it's still David Stern too. You know, it's still, they were thinking about tributes for David Stern, and now this gets added on top, and they're trying to figure out. They got a couple of weeks to put it together. I don't know that they've come up with that yet, but it is something they are considering. The Lakers obviously are not playing tonight. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know what they would have done. I mean, I think what people forget is that, yeah, Kobe was a player with the Lakers, but he was with that franchise for 20 years. And his connections in that franchise on a personal level weren't just with the other players and the coaches. And it went beyond the trainers. It went to the guys up and down that organization. He was a guy who knew everybody in the marketing department. And he went, and, you know, in the basketball operations side, and the people who just put on the games. Like, everybody's in mourning there, because Kobe got to know and be invested in everything, because that's kind of who he was as a person. So I'm curious, on Friday night, Portland comes to town. Ironically, a club – I don't know if there's a franchise he tortured more over the years in Portland with big games, comes to town, and it'll be interesting to see how they celebrate and honor him. That's coming, and I'm not sure. I'm sure the league would like to do something, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure that they've figured that out yet.
You mentioned it, that the game tonight has been postponed. What were your thoughts on that decision-making process that went into that? And then also, you know, what's your insight on what's going on behind the scenes with the players there, with the Lakers and Clippers and guys all over the league that are dealing with this situation? You know, are they getting grief counselors involved? What's kind of going on along those lines?
In the Lakers case, I know that there were some around, and not, by the way, again, not just with the players. They had them in the building for the organization because so many of it, you kind of forget that this is still a family operation, especially in the Lakers case. I mean, it's not small. I mean, it's a big business, but it's not that many people in the grand scheme of things. It's not, you know, a Dell-sized corporation or Apple or something. It's relatively small, and they all were kind of connected. So they had grief counselors in. Said, I just don't think as an organization, I don't know if they could have put on a game today. Like, I don't know if they were ready to do that. So I appreciate that, and I understand why they didn't. I'm curious what would have happened on Sunday if there hadn't been day games. Remember, when this stuff really started to break, there was the Utah game, which was the early game for, let's be honest, and you guys have seen this too in Houston. They have that early Sunday game so they can have a Sunday primetime night game on in the European market, right? And it was Utah because of Rudy Gobert and French connections. So if that had been a night game, if there had been no day games, I wonder if they would have played that night. But by the time this really started to get rolling, those guys were – everybody traveled. Everybody was, in that case, was in the arena warming up. The fans were in the arena. It would have been really tough to pull the plug on that at that point. And then the other side of that is Kobe wouldn't have wanted that. Like, the last thing Kobe would have said is, don't play because of me.
You're listening to Curt Heeling, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com on Sports Radio 610. Bringing it back home here to Houston, you got two LA guys that are prominent on this roster, yeah. James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Any insight on those two guys and how they're dealing with this and how it's going to go for those guys going forward with the loss of Kobe and that relationship that they had?
Yeah, they had it. I think a lot of guys did. I mean, Kobe had become such a mentor around the league. I mean, this hit Trae Young hard, who's not an L.A. guy. I know it hit some of DeRozan and some of the L.A. guys, the other L.A. guys as well, really hard, who had a good relationship with Kobe and had come up while he was – I mean, when you think about when Harden came up and when Russell Westbrook came up, Kobe was it in L.A. You know, like Kobe, that was Kobe and Shaq, you know. They came up idolizing him, and so it hits them on a real emotional level. And you've seen some big performances, by the way. Buddy Hield, who's was a big Kobe fan, just exploded last night for 42 and had a career high. And Trae Young had one of those games. We'll see who else does, but I think it hits those guys. But those guys are also they're such professionals that. They will find a way to funnel this energy into their game and tribute and, you know, especially well in Harden's case, when he's healthy enough to get back on the floor, funnel that into, hey, how can I guess let me put it this way. The best way to play tribute to Kobe is to play as hard as Kobe, to come out and play in his style, manner. And, you know, you're not going to play Kobe's style. As James Harden. I love James Harden. I don't know that he's quite as athletic as Kobe. On a raw athleticism scale, but you can play hard. You can do the things that made Kobe special, and I think you'll see that from those guys.
Kurt, you cover the NBA. You're one of the best in the business, man. What I mean, let's talk about the Rockets. Smitty brought the Kobe tragedy back to Houston and how it relates to a couple of the players. But let's talk about the Rockets in general, man. I mean, the West is an absolute monster. You know, they've got Westbrook in house now. They got a lot ahead of them as far as working the chemistry out and figuring out how to use both of those guys and get the most out of them. Andy, are you a believer that the Rockets are set up as of right now from a personnel standpoint to compete in the West?
Define compete, I guess, is the question. Do I think that they can knock off the Lakers or Clippers if those teams are healthy and focused in the playoffs, if, you know, healthy and loaded for bear, I'm not sure that they are. I'm not sure that they're that level yet. And I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if there's a move at the deadline that gets them there, just considering the players that are available right now. And that could shift a little as teams start to sell closer to the deadline, but we'll see. But like you said, I think the other part of it is that gap, this isn't even the gap to the Lakers-Clippers isn't, and I'm assuming that the Clippers at some point get healthy, isn't it's not like the Warriors, right, of a couple of years where you're like, man, I don't know. And the Rockets obviously almost had them a couple of years ago, but that was always the target. And I'm not sure that the gap feels as big this year. So if they're not right, I think that this team could get there, but obviously their chemistry has to get a little stronger. Their defense has to be more consistent. They've got to get Eric Gordon back to playing, you know, healthy and then back to playing at his level. Obviously, James Harden, is anybody actually worried about him coming out of his slump? I mean, he'll be fine. You know, he hit a little slump, but he'll be fine. They've just kind of got to be clicking on all cylinders, because I don't think that the gap between Utah and Houston and Denver and even those top teams is really all that great. And it's really going to be about hitting everything kind of in stride and being healthy and having Clint Capella, you know, playing strong defense and everything at the right time. And everybody's trying to time that out right now.
That's Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer with NBCSports.com. Kurt, we appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today, man. I know you're a busy man. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You got it, man. Wade, when you're talking about the Rockets and about what I loved hearing from him right there was he said if they can get Eric Gordon ready to rock and roll, in shape, shooting the rock well, you know, as he's saying it, I almost said, bro, he hit 50 last night. What else you want? but no, I mean, as he's saying it, I'm thinking, good, it's music to my ears, because it appears that in a time where Westbrook's getting load managed and Harden is a little bit banged up, Capella is getting that downtime, that much-needed rest. It appears that Eric Gordon's coming around and able to fill it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, we've been saying it for the longest, man. That you know, Eric Gordon's space, the spacing that he brings to the offense, and the ability to put the ball in the bucket and be a guy that's instant offense. You love that about him. I think for the Rockets to get to that next level though, and really compete with the two LA teams and a team like Denver. They're going to need to make a move. I don't know what that move is going to be, and I think a piece to that move is going to have to probably end up being Clint Capella. But they're going to have to figure out something different to where they can have a guy that can give you something offensively facing the basket that is a four or a five on the roster, and they don't have that right now. You need that for spacing purposes. When you got a guy like Capella that can play well in the pick and roll game and get you some dunks, which is fine. It works. You know, some games he has beautiful outings and he goes for 20 and 20 or 22 and 22, whatever you may call it. But when he gets against the big boys, against the Jokic's and the Gobert's of the world, he struggles against those guys. If you can't be somebody that gets those big guys out of the paint, it's going to be tough to get past those guys in the second round of the playoffs. And especially if you get to a finals where you're going against one of the LA teams, it's going to be a struggle. You have to deal with the Dwight Howard or something like that. They're going to have to figure out a move. And to me, Capella is the piece that makes that happen.
Wade, what do you make of Eric Gordon scoring 50? I mean, it's obviously beautiful. I like Eric Gordon. It's very helpful for me to sit here and go, boy, Eric Gordon's a straw that stirs a drink. When he's hot, man, his Rockets can play, you know?
Yeah.
So when he goes out and scores 50, I'm like, hell yeah. But when I look at it, it's like we make so much about Harden scoring 40 and scoring 50 and scoring 60 and filling it up at will. I mean, in today's game, do you think Eric Gordon scoring 50? Do you think that? I mean, I don't know is Harden going and scoring 50? Is it still as big a deal given the fact that Gordon can go out there and do it when he's the guy handling the rock the most of the time?
It's a big deal just in case those guys are off. If you have multiple options on your offense that can score buckets, and if Harden is having an off night or Westbrook is having an off night, and you have a guy like Gordon that can keep you in a ball game, or when those guys, you know, one or two of those guys might be on the bench, and you have a guy like Gordon that can keep a lead or stretch out a lead against an opposing team's bench, you always need and you want players like that on championship caliber ball clubs. So, yeah, I think it means something that you know you have a guy like that on the roster. You just have to figure out a way to make sure you utilize him and make sure you keep up with that ball movement and kind of what he mentioned in his post-game press conference, you know, interviews, that he's like, hey, man, if we move the ball well, you're going to get open looks and guys are going to be able to get open shots, and get open shots equals open buckets. And if you're hitting open threes against teams, they're going to have a tough time stopping the Rockets because they can penetrate and finish, and there's multiple guys that can do it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here. Only
only at T-Mobile. Get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.